I direct your attention to Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed of a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at the saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, there are many things, of course, in this record that we could point out and talk about, but we are in the book of Acts in our adult Bible study here in the auditorium. We're noticing the establishment of the kingdom of Christ, the church. And I thought it'd be good for us to just go back, and we will notice and have been noticing how that Peter has referred to prophecies to establish the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is indeed the Messiah, the Lord. He is the one that we are to look to for salvation. There's many prophecies concerning the kingdom. And you'll notice here that the angel Gabriel is telling Mary that her child is going to be given the throne of his father, David. Mary was a descendant of David. And it says, "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Jacob, of course, name was changed to Israel. And his descendants came to be known as the children of Israel. We'll find that throughout the New Testament and places that Paul will make reference to the fact that we Christians are the Israel of God. We're the fulfillment of that type, that shadow of Israel of the Old Testament. We are the true children of God. So we see here that Gabriel is telling her that it is this son that she is going to bear, Jesus, who is the promised descendant to David and to Israel, Jacob, that through whose seed all nations will be blessed. I want to talk tonight then about the kingdom of Christ. This kingdom was foretold. Psalm 2, verses 6 through 7 says, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" You remember at the baptism of Jesus by John that God the Father declared, "You are my beloved son." Psalm 132 and verse 11, "The Lord has sworn in truth to David, he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body." That would be fulfilled in Mary. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says, "And unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom. In order to establish it with the judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. A government is going to be set up. It'll be set up on this one of the house and the throne of David, a descendant of David. In Daniel chapter 2, remember that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and saw this image and made up of different material, and Daniel interpreted that dream that those different materials represented different kingdoms that would be established from the time of Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian kingdom, and the kingdoms that would follow after up to, of course, the Roman Empire. Daniel here in chapter 2 and verse 44 says, "In the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." These kings and their kingdoms were destroyed. There was a succession, and even the Roman Empire would be destroyed. But in the days of the Roman Empire, God was going to set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. The kingdom that shall not be left to other people. It's not going to evolve into another kingdom. It's going to remain the kingdom that God sets it up to be. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And you might say, well, three of these kingdoms are already gone by the time the fourth kingdom, the Roman kingdom, comes up. He's not talking about kingdoms here anymore. He's talking about people all over the world. And it shall stand, this kingdom that God is going to set up, is going to stand forever. Verses 13 and 14 of Daniel 7 says, "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came in the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." It's a very unique kingdom. God is going to establish his kingdom. It will be comprised of all peoples, all nations. So here is a universal kingdom that is going to go into all nations, and all nations, all languages, all peoples, whoever they are, regardless of what physical government or earthly government they might be under, they can be under this dominion of this new kingdom that God is going to set up. Who's ever heard of anything like that? I mean, everybody can think about a kingdom, and the Jews certainly thought about their kingdom. Their concept of the kingdom under the Messiah was going to be, well, it's going to be like the Roman Empire. Or it's going to be like the Medo-Persian Empire. It's going to be like the Babylonian Empire. It's going to be like the Assyrian Empire. No, it's not going to be like any of those empires. It's going to be like something that no one's ever thought about. That you can have all of these different governments on earth, and all these different languages, and all these different cultures and so forth, and yet they can all be under the dominion of this kingdom that God is going to set up. And the one who rules it will be a descendant of David. Jesus announced the approach of the kingdom in Matthew 4 and verse 17. We read, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" It's near. Luke 10 and verse 9 says, "Say to them, 'The kingdom of heaven has come near to you.'" It was coming. It was coming of certain. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is kind of a double barrel meaning to it. It means it's near. It also means it's certain. It's going to happen. Sometimes it's used meaning with both meanings. Sometimes it's used just with the one meaning of being near, and the other times it's used with the one meaning of being certain. But here, the fulfillment of it would be both near in time and near and certain it's going to be established. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom in Matthew 4 and verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Luke 9 and verse 11, we read, "And when the multitudes knew it, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing." Jesus was constantly speaking about this kingdom of God and it being at hand. They had heard of it. They had read of it in the prophecies. Jesus says it's near. It's very near. It's good news that this kingdom is just about to be set up. Jesus identified his kingdom. In Matthew chapter 16 and verses 16 through 19, Simon Peter answered him, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus had asked the question, "Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed of God. You are the king. You are the high priest of the kingdom that God is going to establish." That's what he was saying. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," or son of Jonah. You say, "I'm the Son of God." You are the son of Jonah. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock, on this foundation, that I am the Son of God, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Here Jesus is using, he's been talking to many about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It's near, it's at hand. Peter is going to be given the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus has previously identified that as his church, the body of the saved. "Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The accurate translation of the Greek here is actually, "Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." Why it's not translated that way, I don't know. I don't know of a translation or version, if you will, that translates it that way. But all of the Greek that you go to and study it, interlinear or whatever, it follows right down that. That's consistent with what Jesus would say to the apostles, that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. And that the Holy Spirit was going to speak the things that he heard from the Father and from the Son. It all goes back to the Father and the Son. The dominion belongs to the Son. Ephesians 1 verses 20 through 23 says, "Which he worked, the Father worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, above all of the dominions of men, the dominion of Christ was established. And every name that is written, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. That's the eternal age. That's the eternal age. Verse 22, he says, he put all things under his feet, Christ's feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. If Christ is the head of the church, then he has to have a body to be full in that sense. If you were just a head, you wouldn't be all there, would you? And so that's what he's saying here. The fullness of Christ is not just the fact that he's the head, but that he has a body. And that body is his church. Those who trust him, those who obey him, those who live to honor him and glorify him. Again, you go back to Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. We noticed a little bit ago, but notice it again. It says, to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Unique indeed. Jesus identified the nature of his kingdom as spiritual. Obviously, if you have a kingdom, a dominion that is going to encompass all other nations and cultures and peoples, it can't be an earthly kingdom. How would that work? In John 18 and verse 36, when Pilate was asking him, are you a king? Do I have something to be concerned about here? You know, your accusers say that you're trying to usurp the throne of Rome. Is that what you're trying to do? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here. We find a further explanation of that in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. Nor will they say, see, here's the kingdom. Or, see, there it is over there. Here's the borders of the kingdom. No, it's not going to be like that. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. When is the kingdom going to come? What are going to be the... You know, by Jesus' answer, you see that their question involved more of when. It involved what are going to be the borders of the kingdom. Who all is going to be included in this kingdom? What other nations are you going to conquer? And this kingdom will reign supreme. They are thinking entirely of earthly kingdoms. Jesus said to them, like he said to Pilate, my kingdom is not from here. It's not of this world. The kingdom of God is within you. It changes you, your thoughts. It changes your allegiance. Jesus prophesied the establishment of the kingdom. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, he said to them, assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here that will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God present with power. It said earlier, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's near. It's certain. How near? Within the lifetime of some of you living, you will see the kingdom of God come with power. That's exactly what they saw on the day of Pentecost. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 32, he said, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Jesus speaking to people who were afraid. Afraid of what was going to happen to them, how people were going to talk about them, what people were going to do to them. They're going to be cast out of the synagogue. They were going to be cast out of their families. Don't be afraid. The Father is giving you the kingdom. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus was about to depart this earth and go back to be with his Father. They knew that. They saw what was coming. But they were also aware of the prophecies about the kingdom. They had heard Jesus talk about the kingdom is at hand. Now he's leaving. You forgetting something? Wait a minute. Don't leave without establishing the kingdom. I haven't forgot anything. You go back to Jerusalem and wait for power to come upon you. They were still thinking physical kingdom too. 3 years they had been with Jesus, and they still hadn't got it. But Jesus was patient with them, and he knew the Holy Spirit was going to bring to remembrance everything that he had said and continue to lead them into all truth. He had faith in them that they would do the right thing and that they would get it. In Acts 2 and verse 47, so we read that the Lord added to the church. He added to the saved. He added to them daily those who were being saved. Church came into existence that first Pentecost after the crucifixion of Jesus. And the Lord continued to add to the church daily those who were being saved. "I will build my church," he said. "Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom." What were the keys to the kingdom? Peter unlocked the doors to the kingdom, if you will, with the gospel of Jesus Christ on that first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. And convinced those of Jerusalem and those who had traveled from all over the world to observe Pentecost. He had convinced them that Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, was both Lord and Christ. And having pricked their hearts, they asked, "What shall we do?" The Lord is one that we are to obey and do what he commands. What does he want us to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day. 3,000 were added to the kingdom, and Jesus continued to add to his kingdom daily those who were hearing, believing, trusting, and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom was proclaimed as present after the day of Pentecost. Before the day of Pentecost, there was always a looking forward to the establishment of the kingdom. It was always near, it was always at hand, it was coming. After the day of Pentecost, it's always in existence. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, that in Samaria, Philip, when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Acts 20 and verse 25, to the elders of the church at Ephesus, Paul said, "And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. I've been all over the world, Paul saying, preaching the kingdom of God. Preaching, not that it's in the future. Preaching that it is present perfect tense. It has been established and it continues to be added to. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, it says, walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He's not going to call you into it. He calls you into it. You have been called into it. Revelation 1 and verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was on the island of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I am your companion in the kingdom. The kingdom has been established. John is in it. Those he is writing to are in it. They are his companions in tribulation. They are in the kingdom of Christ, his church, the body of the saved. Remission of sins is obtained in the kingdom. You cannot have your sins remitted if you are not a member of this kingdom. In Revelation 1 and verses 5 and 6, it says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Big change has taken place. You're not just citizens and human beings walking around on the earth. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are now kings and priests to God the Father. You are in his glory and in his dominion. Chapter 5 of Revelation, verses 9 and 10 says, they sang a new song saying, you, speaking of Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. And don't just live on the earth. We reign on the earth. Do you know who you are? If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, you reign on the earth. You have the truth. Don't be ashamed of the truth. Meet those who want to pervert the truth and squelch the truth. Just speak the truth. And those who are of the truth will respond to it. Those who are not of the truth will respond to it too. But it's not very favorable. But you speak the truth. You know, when Jesus was preaching, his apostles came to him one time and says, you know, you've offended the Jews. You've offended the rulers by what you said. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. I can't help that. They're not of the truth. Salvation depends on entering the kingdom. In Luke 16 and verse 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Yep. John was preparing the way. His baptism was for the remission of sins. And when the blood of Christ was shed and the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached that on that day of Pentecost, these who were pressing into it were added to that body of his kingdom. In John 3, in verses 3 and 5, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." We know Jesus was talking about being baptized for the remission of our sins. We know Jesus was talking about hearing the gospel that is given by the Spirit, revealed by the Spirit, changing our hearts, leading us to obedience to Him, and that obedience leading to the washing of our sins away in the blood of Christ and being added to the body of the saved, His kingdom. Our salvation depends upon entering the kingdom of His church. Well, I don't have to be a member of the church to be saved. You can't be saved unless you are a member of the church. That's what the truth of God's Word is teaching us. Our daily purpose and priority must be the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." I talked this morning about joy, and that the first part of that acronym, if we made an acronym out of it, would be Jesus first, the kingdom of Christ first and foremost. In every decision and every commitment, it's the will of Christ first and foremost. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Jesus said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus calls us from the kingdoms of men and the mindset of men to the mindset of God. Looking back to the world, wanting to be great in the world, wanted to be noted in the world, looking back will cost you the kingdom. Put your hand to the plow and keep looking to Christ, looking forward. The kingdom exists. It is mighty. It is glorious. Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken," it cannot be destroyed. It was prophesied that it could not be destroyed. It cannot be shaken. "Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." It all begins with reverence. It all begins with God first. It all begins in awe of God and how great He is in every aspect of Him, in His might, in His power, in His love and His mercy. We are in awe of Him. And that awe will lead us to obey Him and glorify Him thereby. We must live in the kingdom now to enter heaven later. 2 Peter 1 and verses 10 through 11 says, "Brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Add to your faith. Add to your faith the pursuit of excellence and a knowledge of what excellence is and how to do that and perseverance and patience and all of the... If you do these things, you will never stumble. Make your calling and election sure. This is how, for so an entrance, this is how an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting. You know, we talk about the types and the shadows of the Old Testament looking forward to the things that we see in the New Testament. Well, there is a sense in which the kingdom of Christ church is a shadow and a type of the everlasting kingdom of God. You might say, well, I thought the church was the everlasting. It is, but it's the everlasting kingdom on earth. And only those who are in this everlasting kingdom on earth are going to be in the everlasting kingdom of heaven. You see that? It's amazing. The simplicity of God's word and yet the intricacy of it as well, and the complexity of it. Only an all-wise, all-knowing God could conceive of such a plan and of such a kingdom. The kingdom of Christ. Are you in it? Rejoice if you are. Act like a citizen of this kingdom. Follow Christ always. Put Him first always. Know whose kingdom you are a citizen of and whose law you are under. And glorify Him always. If you're here tonight and you haven't been added to the kingdom of Christ, you are still in your sin, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe the church is the kingdom of the saved, come out of the world and come in to His kingdom. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be born again into the kingdom of God. If you're here tonight and you're a child of God and you realize that you haven't been acting as a citizen of this kingdom should act, you need to make things right with God, He calls upon us and asks us to turn from ourselves and our sins, to continue to purify ourselves, to confess our sins before Him. And He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If we can assist you in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.